I started thinking the title of it was a double cross, and I'm thinking, I hope it goes past the title and just doesn't.
Just think it's like a message, Machiavellian message.
Yeah, just but no, it's it's actually a very good book.
I get him a book like how to murder a lawyer.
No, yeah, this isn't. My favorite author. He does a lot of stuff with from the British Secret Service files. Faked out the Germans. Pretty interesting.
Hey, again, lucky you.
What's up?
Like that.
Nice brand.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, how are you?
Oh, it's not 90%. Could I ask you, do you have cable? Keeping busy?
And how?
Thank you.
Is anybody else joining us in closed session?
Huh?
Anybody else joining us in closed session?
I don't know.
What's your name?
Tom Melody.
Dennis isn't here?
Dennis is not here. He's in physical therapy. He was knee operated on last Tuesday. About 30 seconds. Okay. Hey, guys.
Call the meeting to order. Call the roll.
Trustee Fenton?
Here.
Trustee Dodge?
Here.
Trustee Calandrello?
Here.
Trustee Healy?
Here.
Trustee Katsinas?
Here.
Trustee Milani?
Here.
Mayor Pico?
Here.
Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
FY 2020 budget hearing.
Mr. Kozlara, could you please take it away?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and board members. Today is the last of the budget workshop meetings. We're just going to go over a couple items here before we go into closed session. I'm going to turn this over to Anne Marie, who's also going to introduce our newest employee.
Hi, so I just wanted to introduce you guys all to Marilyn Fumero. She's our new assistant finance director. She comes with a lot of really great experience from the Village of Hanover Park, and she's kind of dove right in already and got into the weeds, so I'm very excited to have her.
Welcome.
Okay, so do we want to just get started? So go ahead. Flip it. Okay, so just a really broad overview of the budget. Total budget about $156.5 million. Capital improvements included in there about $25.6 million. We went over those extensively at our CIP meetings. All of the funds are meet or exceed the fund balance policy set by the village board. The budget is balanced, utilizing some savings from the prior year. We don't have any new revenue sources. We do have some increases in revenues, but nothing, no new sources. And we were able to keep the total levy flat for the ninth year in a row. The components of the levy changed, but in total, taxpayers will pay the same amount to the village this year that they're in 2020 that they did in 2019. And then the budget also maintains our current service levels in the various departments. Just some expenditure adjustments that were made. We didn't receive any amendments from any board members, so these are all just adjustments that came about as we went through the budget process. It's a long process, so things oftentimes happen over the months that we find. So a couple of the increases, we have some additional printing costs in there for the rec brochure. We had talked about at the rate at the CIP meeting that we needed to do a rate study for the our water rates. And we did miss putting that in there initially, so that we added that amount. We've got some money in there for a payroll consultant related to the partial outsourcing of our payroll process. And then also some funds in there for a village-wide kind of vendor-managed inventory process. The discretionary items that were presented to the board individually by department have also been factored into the overall budget. So just a few of the decreases that we had talked through at our previous meetings, we had over budgeted for the PR consultant, so we reduced that amount. And then the Humphrey Woods renovation, the board had made the decision to push that out 1 year so that we could do the entire project in 1 year instead of spreading it over multiple years. And then plans are that by the end of December that the Civic Center Authority will be abolished and the Civic Center will just become another department of the village under the umbrella of recreation. So the salary ordinance, George, do you want to kind of take over?
So something that is going to be requested of the board to approve with the budget approval will be a salary ordinance. And the salary ordinance is really, it establishes the parameters within which non-represented employees are paid. It sets their grade levels, the minimums and the maxes. It just outlines the procedures for within which the employees are and how they get compensated. It is something new. For this organization, I think most other organizations do it.
So we have it up on the screen here. I mean, we don't have to read through it. It does have two attachments. The first attachment outlines all of the full-time salary ranges, and then the second attachment identifies the part-time salary ranges. This will be brought forward to the board on December 2nd as part of the overall budget process. It'll be another ordinance that's on the board that night on the board agenda that night for approval. So I don't know if there's any specific questions that the board has.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Calandrello.
So I'm reviewing that, and I completely understand what we're doing and the method behind it. So I'm looking through some of those highs and lows. I know some of our current employees are above the current maxes. I mean, I understand we would present and pass the ordinance. What happens if we have a rock star and they should go way above it or vice versa? What's our remedy for having a rock star? We have to go above it as a village manager, or how does that work out?
Well, you know, that's a good question, but at the end of the day, I mean, we can always come back to the board if we're looking to make some one-time adjustment. But for the most part, in order to be able to kind of budget properly, we set these parameters. And so, and there is a difference between a minimum and a maximum. So there is some wiggle room within that range.
And then we'll just be phasing this in. So current employees who make more than that will continue to ride, and then once they fall off.
So what ends up happening is this is going to be an annual ordinance. So annually, the ordinance will get reviewed, and the minimum and maximums will be reset by the board at budget time.
Any other comments or questions?
Mayor Pico.
Trustee Dodge.
So, George, my recollection when we talked about this is certainly makes sense if a lot of other municipalities are doing this as a best practice. Got it. And the ranges certainly seem like they're in the ballpark of what we've kind of broadly talked about there with all of our various and sundry understandings of market comparisons. So I'm assuming, and this is my question, these the min and max comport back to what we've been doing over time with all of our salary studies.
And we can maybe even, Stefana can actually give a little more insight onto that as well.
And we actually, if you remember, we did a classification and compensation study back in October. We started October of 2018. We did present that study to the board in and around March. The study was finalized closer to May or so. The ranges in this ordinance are representative of the recommendations from that study and were reviewed at one point by the board.
Okay. That was my question. So the answer is yes.
Yes.
And then, you know, broadly, so I think this is where Trustee Calandrella was going to go, is if we find a need to make adjustments, it's certainly the right of the board, correct? The option of the board with your request?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, so if we were looking to do something outside of the parameters of the ordinance, it would require board action. We'd come back to the board for that.
And then one of the things that I think we've talked about broadly, and it's in your section too, just spirit, not letter of the law here, is to have the policies and procedures in place, because it seems my impression, and it seems that over the years, we'd get someone who's working their way through the ranks, and then there was the job classification change. And that seemed not to be on a relatively steady glide path. So my sense, and I'm asking this as a question now, once you start layering in these procedures, we'll have a better handle on performance management in terms of expectations and how that gets tied back to compensation changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe Stefana can also talk about our plan for the for our merit increases.
Yes, we are working on a merit increase program and revamping our current performance evaluation program. We're looking to roll that sometime in 2020. In reference, I wanted to just mention as well, part of the classification and compensation study did recommend for any positions that were where an individual might be over that range, that they're redlined so that they can stay at their current salary, but they would no longer have earnings towards their base until the range caught up to them. With the study as well, it does make a recommendation for some procedures in terms of evaluating jobs using a job factor analysis and using the same scoring going forward if there are new position classifications that weren't included in the study, using that same methodology going forward with each new position.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? So I have a comment here. One of the things we talked about with the minimum wage is we're not going to flow it through all of our other hourly rates. I see we have the current and then the new hourly rates. So I wasn't quite done looking at the maximums, but the minimums, not including the ones that have to go up because they're already less than the minimum wage, it looks like about 57% of the remaining ones, the rates go up. So we're tracking them up with the minimum wage on over half of the remaining. And then if we look at the maximums, it's, looking at this really quickly, we probably have, it's a much higher percentage. It's probably about 75% of the maximums have gone up. So we've increased, and as we talked about, if we do this, then in 5 years when this is fully implemented and we keep following this path that everyone gets the bump, which it's unfortunate for those people who are making $15 an hour that they're position is going to be potentially devalued relative to the market because of an artificial minimum wage. That's a $2 million a year impact to our budget, just on the hourly people alone. So we can't track it. We cannot track our hourly up with minimum wage. And right now, we're doing a pretty significant job of tracking all of our people up with the minimum wage.
And you know, and the part-time schedule, it's still a work in progress. It's a draft right now. And that is one of the challenges that we're going to be faced with as far as the impact that minimum wage will have on the organization. We're going to see if there's some tweaking we can still do to the minimums and maximums. But we do have challenges in certain areas attracting people currently, and this is meant to be an attraction.
Well, and that's a little bit different argument, but it seems pretty significant when, you know, 57%, it's actually 73%. 57% of the lower ranges go up and 73% of the upper ranges go up for everyone who's not directly impacted by the minimum wage. That's going to be a huge impact to our budget going forward, and that's a huge hole we have to fill. So I'd rather see the argument, I'd like to see the arguments for why we're raising this relative to the marketplace, as opposed to what looks like we're just raising it up because minimum wage went up.
Our part-time ranges also used to be in more of a step program where people would go from step one to step seven. Those ranges are being converted to an open range like the full-time non-representative position. So we may see some of that progression slow a bit compared to our previous ranges.
Right, but I, like I said, I'm looking at some of these numbers, and they're pretty significant step change jumps, and I think we need to justify why those different positions are going up into our part-time. To your point, it's a work in progress, but I think we should see what the rationale is behind all of these jumps, because as I'm looking at it here, maybe it's not going to be a $2 million impact, but it's going to be a $1.7 million impact 5 years from now. And how are we going to cover that gap? And we're going to have to cover that gap in some way, and that's going to mean lost positions, doing things in a different way, or some other alternative that is even less palatable.
Yeah, we're gonna come back to the board with some more information on the part-time here in the next couple of weeks. We're gonna do a little more due diligence on it.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mayor Pico.
Trustee Dodge.
Can you go back to your PowerPoint slide? I think that one. So is this 1.7 total, or is it just relative to the positions under this ordinance?
So the positions that are in the ordinance are the positions that are in the FY 2020 budget. So if there's any positions that we have that are not budgeted that year, okay, they're not
so
on the ordinance.
So those 1.7 include everybody?
Yes,
it's
that
total,
is the total compensation.
Including
the cuts, comparing 2019 to 2020. It doesn't make it apples to apples for the ERI. It's just our total compensation change from year to year.
Represented and non-represented, correct?
All employees, all in.
Double checking, thank you.
All employees, it's our budget from 2020 to 2019, and I first saw this at, 3 o'clock this afternoon, and what I think we're going to bring back is we're going to bring an apples to apples comparison so we can factor out the cuts in positions and look at what's from a static level, what's our employee increase, because our target is to keep that under 3%.
Yep. Oh, Mayor P, we going to bring that back to the board, or what?
Yeah.
So that's a number you're working on, correct?
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Any other questions? So before we go into this, just so everyone knows what we're going to do, because we are talking about some specific positions with the positions that are being eliminated, we're going to go into executive session to discuss the details on those positions after this presentation is complete.
Okay, so tonight would be our last, like George had mentioned, tonight is going to be our last budget hearing for fiscal year 2020. Our next steps on by the week of November 11th, sometime that week, we'll actually make the 2020 budget available for public viewing as required by statute. We'll also publish the public hearing notification, and then on December 2nd, we'll formally approve the budget. We'll have the budget hearing, or the public hearing like we usually do as part of the village board meeting. Will pass the budget along with all the other ordinances related to the levy and all of the abatements, as well as the salary ordinance.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Mayor?
Trustee Healy?
I'm new to this process. We have the public hearing on December 2nd, and then we pass the budget. So anything we learn at the public hearing is...
So usually the public hearing is for the public to come up and express their opinion on the budget. We make it available in mid-November for public viewing. We'll have a hard copy of it out in the lobby. We also post it on our website as a proposed budget. And then we have the public hearing that evening. The public is able to come and comment on it. The board addresses those comments. If there is anything significant, we'd obviously address it. Usually there's no public comment at all, and then the board approves it that night.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Mr. Chairman?
Trustee Fenton.
Move to go into executive session for A, appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific village employees.
Second.
Call the roll.
Trustee Fenton?
Aye.
Trustee Milani?
Aye.
Trustee Dodge?
Aye.
Trustee Calandrello?
Aye.
Trustee Healy?
Aye.
Trustee Katsinas?
Aye.
Mayor Pico?
Aye.